The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly, and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turned to the crowd that followed him and said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bier stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Remember 9/11 so clearly in my mind. I can tell you where I was, what I was doing. I can tell you that I was sure that it was a mistake until the second plane hit the second tower. I remember in my naivete thinking that surely no one would ever do such a thing on purpose. In my world, maybe in yours, that was the beginning of the term terrorist attack becoming part of my vocabulary. It was also the first time that I can remember people in my lifetime demonstrating widespread fear and discrimination for a whole race of people. I knew my history. I was very aware of other times when a race of people had been mistreated. But, you know, in my mind, that was always historical. Now I am older and I am much more aware, and I realize that actually I grew up in a pretty racist community. But we didn't discriminate against Arabs or Muslims or black people. We discriminated against the local indigenous community. So now I know that 9/11 wasn't the beginning of all the problems. Just the moment that my own eyes were opened up to begin to see. Now I see systemic racism in so many places. In Canada, there is widespread racism against Indigenous peoples. Turns out not just in the community I grew up in. And our Black neighbors in the U.S. experience more than their fair share of systemic racism. And I wanted to say, as I was writing my sermon, that racism against Muslims is worse in the U.S. too. But then I realized that's pretty hard to say after the events of last Sunday in Quebec. I want to point out that systemic racism does not mean that the whole population is racist, but rather that within our systems exists a bias that favors white, mostly men. This is hard to hear. It is uncomfortable. We don't want it to be true, but pretending it isn't true is not an option. Since 9/11, hi, you gonna come up? Since 9/11, I have had the opportunity to learn more and to meet a much larger cross-section of people who don't look like me, who don't believe the same things as I do, and who didn't grow up in the kind of circumstances that I did. You okay? I have to tell you, with absolute certainty, that every one of those experiences has made my life richer, my experience fuller, my heart bigger. But these things all happen while I carry this knowledge that just because I was born with white skin, I had a head start. When I sat down this week to read the assigned text and to start thinking about a sermon, I was very much feeling the weight of the Muslim ban in the US and the shooting in Quebec City. And then I read the text. The first portion of our text has Jesus healing the centurion slave, a Roman centurion, a soldier in the army who was occupying Palestine. Jesus looks at this man who should have been, or who was, an enemy, and he healed his beloved servant. And he doesn't stop there. His parting words are, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." This man, who was an officer in the army of the occupying forces, a foreigner, not a Jew, Jesus praises this man for his faith. And then he travels to a town called Nain. And on his way into the city, he observes the funeral procession of a young man. The man has died and left only his mother behind. Now, for a woman in first century Palestine, this doesn't only mean that she is left brokenhearted, but also that she will be left basically destitute. Jesus sees this woman and has compassion for her. I thought it was interesting to learn this week that the Greek word used for compassion here in the original text finds its root in the word for intestines, meaning that this compassion is a deeply felt, gut-wrenching emotion. And it is this compassion that leads Jesus to act. He doesn't raise the young man from the dead for his own sake. Death is not his enemy. Jesus raises him for the sake of his mother, out of compassion. I think it's also important to note that between last week and this week, we skipped a passage known as the Sermon on the Plain. It is called this because Luke writes, "He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon." It is during this sermon, on a level, equal place with those gathered, who are both Jews and Gentiles, that Jesus recounts blessings and woes, commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. I think the thing to notice here is that Jesus does not raise himself up above anyone else, but stays on a level plane. And I think that that is a purposeful setup for what comes next. When Jesus heals the centurion's servant and raises the widow's son from the dead. When the news broke this week that the perpetrator of the brutal shooting in Quebec City was a Christian, well, my first reaction was to say, "Oh, no, he's not." To be sure, I have a very different definition of what it means to be a Christian than that man. And then, when I said something to that effect at our local ecumenical ministerial this week, one of my Mennonite colleagues said to me, "Well, exactly. So what does that mean for us, Joanna?" She said, "The tables have been turned, and it is very uncomfortable." And then she looked around the room and she asked for us to consider what it has been like for Muslims all over the world to experience tragedy after tragedy with those executing the attacks claiming to be Muslim. In the midst of a world experiencing crisis amid crisis, we must take our example from Jesus. Jesus, who treated all as equal to himself, who worked miracles for strangers, enemies even, who made decisions and acted out of compassion. Jesus looked at the pain of others, felt it deeply inside of himself, and did everything in his power to restore them to abundant life. We must stand up for those who have no voice and speak. We must speak out against injustice, against racism and xenophobia. We must realize that we are all standing on the plain, equal in the eyes of God, no one better than another, and then we need to live that truth in our daily lives. We must be ruled by compassion, deeply feeling for our neighbors in need and doing everything we can to help them. In our reading today, it's not so much about the miraculous, life-giving transformations as the justice of God enacted in everyday life, for those in power and for the lowly. It's not so much about what Jesus does as about how he calls us to live in faith, inclusively, caring for the least. The kingdom of God is at hand. and your hands can work for it. Thanks be to God.